I'm going to start off by asking Beth a question, and then I'm going to invite you all to ask questions, and we'll do this for a short time because I know you might be eager to have some refreshments. Although I think this might be the most refreshing thing of all, to get a chance to talk to Beth Henley. So let me start by saying that, there we go, Beth. Go ahead.
Such a diva.
Au contraire.
Give me that
water. Critics have argued that the best of Southern writers have benefited from being away from the South. Faulkner, Welty, Warren, Williams all spent time away from home, even though some of them returned. Has living away from Mississippi benefited your plays that are set in Mississippi?
I think so. Is this working?
Thank you.
Do I have to punch something?
Let's see.
The red button on the bottom.
There is no red button.
Oh. Okay. Can you hear me? Okay, sorry about that.
I did that.
Yes. I think any experience in life helps you as a writer. Any new place you see, new people you meet, you get a perspective. And the wider perspective you have as a writer, the more you can understand about the world.
Does anyone out there have a question? Do we have mics for the... Any questions in the audience? I've got a lot of them. Here's one.
All right, Beth. Of all the plays that you've written, which one is your favorite? Which one is your favorite and why? I don't necessarily mean the best.
The question is, of all the plays you've written, which one is your favorite and why?
I would feel evil naming one. Because I love them all, and I don't want to hurt any of their feelings.
Grady.
You know, I knew your father and your mother, and you dwelled on your mother a great deal here, and not said a whole lot about your father. But your father was himself an actor because he was a politician.
Good point.
Successful. So did he have any influence on your career choices?
Shall I repeat? Yeah. The question is, your father was an actor and a successful one because he was a politician. So did her father have any influence on her career choices?
Yes. I mean, I just loved him so much. And he, when I decided to go off to theater school and then a private school, SMU, he was willing to let me do it and gave me encouragement. And they came out to see, I wrote a play that was produced there, and he came out to see it with my mom and sisters. And he had a flair like nobody else. And I always learned from him.
I have a trick question. Beth, what was your first play that you wrote, and when was it? Did you write your first play?
The question is, what was the first play you wrote, and what was the name of it? And this is a trick question.
I know it. What was it called?
It was Swing High, Swing Low.
Swing High, Swing Low. And Betty was in it. She was the star. Yes. And we did good until boys got included, and then everything fell apart. But your sister had it printed up, and it was a little play. It was, we would do songs. It was about a young girl who left her family to go to New York to be with hippies, or not, I think at the time it was beatniks. And we would do songs like, Kids, What's the Matter with Kids Today? You know, we just stole from other musicals. But it was fun.
Someone back here. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yes, I was wondering if existentially you must write in a way that transcends your choosing to write.
He is wondering if existentially you must write in a way that transcends your choosing to do so.
I have no idea. I really don't.
After Francine.
Yes, I am. I just finished a new play. It's called The Unbuttoning. And it's a three-character play. Usually my plays have more characters. But this is really about, takes place at the end of the 18th century. And it's about a salesman who comes to sell his wares to an unsuspecting lady.
Does the murder mystery influence your writing?
You mean reading murder mysteries?
Yes, there's reading murder mysteries.
I don't read murder mysteries.
You don't? Oh, how disappointing.
I'm sorry.
Because there are lots of mysteries in your in your plays.
What more?
Yeah. Another question.
I have a question. We had Suzanne. We were talking about Eudora and how she went to New York with friends, graduate school. How did you pick L.A.? And are you glad? Was it for the film?
Why did you pick L.A.? That Eudora had gone to New York, but Beth chose to go to L.A. And was that because of films? So,
yeah. Well, I had gone to school in Texas and then had a year of working in Dallas. And then I got offered a scholarship to go to the University of Illinois, where they paid you like $100 a month or something, and you could teach. But I didn't like, I was there with my boyfriend. We both got the jobs because we knew the president of the new president of the theater department, or dean, or whatever one might call it. And we'd been to New York, and it was really scary. We stayed with friends who lived in Hell's Kitchen, and there was such violence right outside the window. So I was a little afraid. And our friend Sharon and Thurman, who we knew from Dallas, they had moved to L.A. And so we decided to move to L.A. Nothing I was deciding at that time was for any good reason whatsoever.
But is being in that community in L.A. around so many great actors and writers, has that been a positive force in your career?
Yes, I'm. It's really helpful when I have a reading of my play, like I just did a reading of the new play, and the actors will come to my living room and read for me, and they read cold. So the better the actor, kind of the harder it is to see your mistakes, but that's what you want, the first read through. So I get the best actors I can get. And then I question them and question a few friends that are there and try to just hear the play out loud for myself. And I have some very dear friends. Many of my friends that went to SMU are still my friends from Texas.
Wow. Another question? This question says that you have a character. You take a character like Meg, who might be very unappealing, but somehow you peel back the layers of her character, and she becomes likable. You come to empathize with her. Yeah.
When you do, in other words, when you're writing, do you reach a point you say, "Oh, wait a minute, we gotta make her nice"?
Well, I when I wrote Crimes of the Heart, there's this character Chick in there, and she is like a perfect villain, and I was reading some Chekhov, and I said, he can see the humanity in everybody, even a chick. And so from there out, I've tried to find things that move me about each character.
That's a very Welty-like statement, I think. Let me ask one last question, and we'll take a break, and Beth can meet with you individually. This question is about Nobody's Fool. You wrote the screenplay for a novel that I do love called Nobody's Fool by Richard Russo, and I wondered if you might talk about the challenges of transforming a work of fiction into a film, and I also wonder if you might be interested in transforming a work of Welty fiction into a film.
Oh, wow. Okay, bad news, Suzanne.
No.
My screenplay, Nobody's Fool, which I didn't name, they changed it at the studio. Mine was called Moonwatcher. It was an original script, not from a book.
Mm. Oh, well, there you are.
Alas.
Alas.
But I have adapted some of my own plays and a few other books that haven't been made.
Have you adapted any fiction?
Let's see. No, they've mainly been more like about bank robbers and about Ruby McCullen, a black woman who shot the doctor in town who she had two children by. So more, I guess, journalistic.
Well, I'm really disappointed that you didn't do Nobody's Fool, but I'm going to write some notes to the internet sources where I found that and correct it. I'll tell one funny story. And when I was being interviewed about Eudora Welty down on the Mississippi Gulf Coast, one of the questions I got just before the commercial break was, and what do you think of Eudora Welty's play, Crimes of the Heart? And I said, well, actually, that's a play by Beth Hindley. And we went to break, and the woman said, damn, hell. And then we came back on, and she said, Eudora Welty and Beth Hindley have so much in common. And I think so, too. Thank you.